Yeah, guest speaker today will be none other than our own Paul Ramo. Paul was actually going to speak a little while ago, and then he got sick at the last minute. So you didn't know he was going to speak. I did, and I was kind of looking forward to hearing him. And then he backed down on us.
Yeah, but, I did.
And Paul's got that great voice. I tell him he should be on the radio.
He should be.
Hey, let's welcome Paul Ramo.
Thank you. Yeah, Jeff was right. Pastor Eric has asked me to give the message like three times in the past 3 months, and we had a family event one weekend in the cities, and then last time I wasn't sick at all. I just had this terrible cough, and there was no way I could speak, so I felt bad about that, and thanks for Jeff for taking care of that for me. So, first of all, thank you for being here. And happy Father's Day to everyone. And let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, I think of two things this morning to thank you for: air conditioning and dads. And we thank you for both of them. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's walked through the doors this morning. Lord, may their eyes and hearts be open to be receptive to your word. And we thank you, and we ask you that you bless them, bless this time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, I'd like to thank Pastor Eric for the opportunity again to give the message, and I'm here. That's the main thing, so, and good. COVID done. I know Pastor Eric had a rough time with the COVID, and I did too back last year, and I know what he was going through there, so. And happy Father's Day to everyone, and I prepared this message maybe 3-4 months ago. I always tell Pastor Eric, I always have a message in my hip pocket, so if there's an emergency, give me a call. And he does. So I've prepared this, and I'm thinking, you know, I didn't realize it was going to be Father's Day. So I wanted to kind of merge Father's Day message with my message. It kind of worked out pretty well. So you'll hear some Father's Day message in this today as well. So let's start with who thinks Paul's not going to make it through the whole sermon and he will end up crying. Raise your hand. That's about everybody raising their hands. And you know what? I'm gonna prove you wrong. So if I do break down, I'll give away my Father's Day candy bar to some lucky person. How about that?
Greg wants another one.
Okay, I'll give it to Greg. All right. You know, when you're up here speaking, and Pastor Eric's given the message, it's just not you people listening, hearing the message within these walls here. You ever think about that? The message that is being preached from behind this pulpit is being heard on the greatest radio station in the world. Did you know that? Every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, from 10 to 10:30, Pastor Eric's message is being broadcast. And I can't tell you how many people have told me they heard the Baptist program on KLQP. And it's so when you think of that, when you see Pastor Eric giving a message or whoever's behind the pulpit, send out a prayer because the message is going far beyond these walls. And it's impacting people. And I can attest to that because the last time I gave a message, and a man from South Dakota across the border drove just to Madison, just to talk to me, because he heard my message, he heard my testimony. I gave my personal testimony about how my college roommate sat me down on the couch, remember that? And he wanted to talk to me about that. And that's the only reason he came to the radio station, so we sat in my office. And it was pretty cool. He said, my wife and I listen to Calvary Baptist Church program every Sunday. And we heard you on Sunday morning. He said, is there a sporting event going on? I said, no, Paul's preaching, so. Yeah, that was quite a nice moment with that fellow, that man. So think about that next time you hear. So it is Father's Day, and I want to honor my dad. The subject matter, well, let me give you the subject of the message this morning. It's encouragement. Encouragement, words that heal. That's what I titled it as. Encouragement, words that heal. And my dad was a big-time encourager. He encouraged our kids all the time. you're doing a good job. You know, you did a great job. My dad would always tell me that, and my brothers and sisters. And he was a good dad. He always had kind words to say to people, and I miss him. I'm holding it together. I haven't broke down yet. I still got my candy bar. I remember a time I was a sophomore, and I was asked to MC the homecoming queen coordination in the gym at Madison High School, and I was really nervous, and I did that, and when we got done, we got home, my dad gave me a hug, and he said, "You did a great job." I'm good. All right, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've given your life to Jesus, if you asked him to forgive your sins and said yes to Jesus, do you know you have a title? You're a child of God, but you also have another title. You can put doctor next to your name. Did you know that? You're a doctor. We are all doctors if we're followers of Jesus. Why? Because you are a healer. Jesus said, "You will do greater things than I." Do you ever think about that? Did you know your words, this is how you're a healer, your words that you use heals people, can heal people. So turn to the person next to you quick or by you, give them a smile. Say, "I love you." Say, "I'm glad you're here." Say something nice to that person. Give them a compliment. Wave. There you go. Nice job, Roxy and Naomi. That was a cute wave. Okay. Give them a compliment. How did that make you feel? Did you just heal someone? Did you give them the warm fuzzies? All right. What is the true meaning of encouragement? The true meaning of encouragement. Encouragement is defined as an expression. Encouragement is defined as an expression of support or approval or as words or actions that assist or inspire someone. Let me read that again. Encouragement is defined as an expression of support or approval or as words or actions that assist or inspire someone. When you praise a child and encourage him to keep trying, this is an example of encouragement. No other greater example of encouragement is if you're trying to potty train a toddler. Anybody potty train anybody? Okay? Yeah. Potty training kids. You can do it. You know, have you ever said that to one of your children? "We're not going to wear diapers anymore. You go here, sit, and you can do it." And you encourage them, right? You encourage them. That's what encouragement is. All right, let's open our Bibles. If you have, or you can look on the screen. I'm not going to mention Acts chapter 19. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was probably one of the biggest encouragers in the Bible. In Acts chapter 19, we see there was a riot going on where Paul was, the church of the Ephesians. Paul was there for 3 or 4 years in Ephesus, and there was a riot going on because a lot of people were coming to know the Lord, and these businesses that were the businesses that relied on the false gods were not making money anymore. And they blamed the Christians, or the Way. That's what it was called then. It was called the Way in the Ephesian church. And so there was a riot going on there in the town. And it wasn't good at the time, but here we're going to read Acts chapter 20, verse 1. We're going to use the message version. With things back to normal, Paul called the disciples together, and he encouraged them to keep up the good work in Ephesus. Then, saying his goodbyes, he left for Macedonia. traveling, now listen to this, traveling through the country, passing from one gathering to another, he gave constant encouragement, lifting their spirits and charging them with fresh hope. I love that. So Paul encouraged the church to keep going. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. Now, Paul, they say Paul wrote the Hebrews, but some people think Priscilla and Aquila did and some other people, but we're going with Paul with this one. It says, let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worship together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. Paul was an encourager. He spurred the believers on. Keep up the good work. You are doing the right thing, he would say. You are saying the right things. He was telling this to the Christians. You are leading people to the Lord. Great job. You are being Christ-like. Keep it up. Paul's a cheerleader. A big cheerleader. And I like that about Paul. If you read all of Paul's epistles, at the end when he thanks people individually, he's encouraging them constantly. And that's what the early church needed, right? We just got done doing praise and blessing time. Why do you think we do that in our service? Well, the main thing is to give God the glory, right? For what he is doing in your life, but it's also to bring encouragement to the church body. Are you encouraged when you heard some of the things that you heard this morning? Josh and Niece about fathers, I was encouraged about that. John about the veterans, I was encouraged about that. They made me think of something that maybe I don't usually think about. And so, someone may be listening to you while you're up here during praise and blessing time and is encouraged by what you are saying. Remember that. All right, we're flying right along here. We're going to, you know, whenever you read the Bible, you read the stories over and over, the same stories, but you always get something new out of it, don't you? That's why the Word of God is alive and well, and it speaks to you differently every time. And boy, did it speak to me a couple weeks ago when I opened up the book of Job, again from the Message version. I want you to listen to what Job is. Job was a man who lived in Uz. He was honest inside and out, a man of his word, who was totally devoted to God and hated evil with a passion. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was also very wealthy. Listen to this. 7,000 head of sheep. 7,000 head of sheep. 3,000 camels. 500 teams of oxen. 500 donkeys. And a huge staff of servants. The most influential man in all the East. Would you like to work for Job? How do you think he got that way? God blessed him, right? But imagine working. He had a lot of servants, a lot of staff. It's going to take a lot of people to take care of all that livestock, right? Job must have been a really good employer to work for, I'm thinking, looking at that. So we know everything, what happened to Job. Satan and God got together. And we know the story about Job. He lost everything. He lost his children. He lost his business, and he lost his health. And he suffered greatly. And he loved God the whole way. He had 3 friends. Now, I've read this before about his 3 friends, but I want to just focus on one of his friends. I think I'm saying this right. Eliphaz from Teman. Job chapter 4. Verses 1 through 6, or 1 through 3, 1 through 6. Let's read this. Now, this is where you get the feeling that Job is an encourager. Then Eliphaz from Teman spoke up. Now, this is at Job's lowest point. Think of that. This is at Job's lowest point. Would you mind if I said something to you? Under the circumstances, it's hard to keep quiet. You yourself have done this plenty of times, Job. Spoken words that clarify, encouraged those who were about to quit. Your words have put stumbling people on their feet, put fresh hope in people about to collapse. But now, you're the one in trouble. You're hurting. You've been hit hard, and you're reeling from the blow. But shouldn't your devout life give you confidence now? Shouldn't your explanatory life give you hope? Wow, what a friend. He's encouraging. He's wanting Job to remember what he was like. And now his friend comes alongside him and tries to lift him up. Isn't that cool? You ever thought about Job like that? That Job's an encourager? That's how I take that. Are you a friend that encourages your friends? Do you have a friend that encourages you? Like Eliphaz? Well, if you do, thank them. They're a good friend. Keep them, right? I like that story. Never thought about Job as an encourager, but he was an encourager. I had a teacher that was an encourager. I'll tell you a little story here quick. Okay. All right, take a break. I want to keep that candy bar. I have a teacher in high school. All I would say, it was kind of embarrassing to say, but I'm going to admit it. All I cared about in high school was sports. Academics didn't mean, that's the way I was. I always took the easiest classes. And I loved playing sports for the mighty Madison Dragons. Yay. Thank you, Harville. In the winter, in the fall, I was on the football team. In the winter, I was on the wrestling team. And in the spring, I did two sports. I ran track and played baseball. And I loved it. And being, you know what? Sports was a big deal for me then. But you know what? Being in a high school play never, ever crossed my mind. Ever. The theater arts teacher and director of the school plays at that time was a guy named Mr. Alan Foxwell. Just a couple years ago, we connected on Facebook. He's still alive, and he's in Wisconsin. One day, I had a class. The reason I had a class with him, remember them old big VCR cameras back in the mid-70s when they came out? They're huge. They videotape your family with. Well, we had one of those in school, so I took that class. It was a journalism multimedia class, so we made short movies and stuff. That's what the class was about, and Mr. Foxwell taught that class. So that's how he got to know me. Otherwise, he wouldn't know me because I'm in sports and doing other things. One day, Mr. Foxwell came to me and said, Paul, I was a junior. The spring play is coming up, and I would like you to try out for the part of Mr. Gilbreth in the play Cheaper by the Dozen. I actually laughed out loud and said, no, what would my friends think? I remember telling him that. What would my friends think? I told him I don't do plays. I've never been to a high school play before. And I'm not going to be in Cheaper by the Dozen. I told him that over and over. He pestered me for maybe a week or two. Tryouts were coming up. He said I would be the perfect part of playing the dad of 12 children. That's what Mr. Gilbreth is in Cheaper by the Dozen, the dad of 12 children. And he kept asking me and kept asking me. And one day in the hallway, it was like a subpoena, you know, he handed the script to me. And I didn't know what it was. And it was a script to Cheaper by the Dozen. He goes, Paul, take this home and read it. So I did. One final meeting, I did read the script. one final meeting in his classroom went like this, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I gave the script back to him, and I said, told him for the 100th time, I can't do that. I said, Mr. Gilbert is the main character in this play. I've never been in a play before, and you want me to play the main character? He has hundreds of lines. I'm not smart enough to memorize all these lines. I can't do that. I can't. And I remember Mr. Oh, there goes a half a candy bar. Mr. Foxwell looked me straight in the eye, and it was just the two of us in the room. And he firmly said, Paul, you can do this. I believe in you. Long story short, I said yes. Let me tell you, I have never worked so hard at something in my life. I studied the lines every day and every night. I would get done with baseball and track practice, and I'd run the play practice at night. My mom, bless her heart, helped me memorize the lines, and there were a lot of them, into the wee hours of the night sometime and on the weekends. My mom, she's a genius. She took the cassette players, and she would read the line before me and then leave the dead air, and then I'd repeat that. So when I listened to the cassette tape, my mom would say the line before me, and then I'd say it out loud and keep the cassette running. You understand? That's how I learned that. That was her idea. Opening night, I was more nervous before taking that stage than running onto the football field or on a wrestling mat. Backstage, Mr. Foxwell put his hand on my shoulder and said, you have worked hard. Okay, I lost it. Candy bar's gone. Anyway, he encouraged me before I went out on stage. And he told me to break a leg, and I had no idea what that meant. Little trivia note for you, though. Cheaper by the Dozen High School play was the very first play at the Prairie Arts Center. It was 74, I think. The place was packed. I've never had such a rush walking onto a stage. The play was a big hit. I surprised myself. And I thank Mr. Foxwell for encouraging me. Because he saw something in me that I didn't. I did something I didn't think I could do. And I fell in love with it. Because of a teacher. I was in more high school plays. I won awards for best actors in the plays. After graduation, Mr. Foxwell got me into summer stock theater, which is hard to do, at Morehead State University. I was thrilled. People from all over the country came to learn how to act. We had Hollywood actors' kids in this program. I remember Peter Graves from Mission Impossible? He was there. His children were there. And I learned so much about acting. It was one of the highlights of my life. And we did little plays. We did outdoor plays. But the biggest play was a production from Shakespeare. I was in a Shakespearean play called Midsummer Night's Dream. And I played King Oberon, King of the Fairies. I have a picture of me in tights that no one will ever see. So thank you, Mr. Foxwell, for your words of encouragement. Look what it did to me. That's what encouragement will do. Okay, in closing, words matter. Words are gifts to one another. They are gifts to one another. Let's look at Proverbs. I'm going to run through some scriptures quick. Worry weighs us down. A cheerful word picks us up. A cheerful word picks us up. Ephesians 4:29. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word a gift. Highlight that in your Bible. Proverbs 15:4a. I don't know why they do A and B, but they do A. Kind words heal and help. Your words matter. You don't know what another person is really going through. They may be smiling, they may seem happy on the outside, but on the inside they are a mess and struggling. Your smile, especially a kind and encouraging word, can make a big difference in someone's life. Big difference. So, my second in closing. Here's another simple way to encourage someone in today's world and technology. I want everybody to get out your phones. Get out your phones. Go to your contact, your messages. What I want you to do is this. Text someone right now in your contacts list. Maybe a family member, a coworker, a friend. Text them and just say simple, I'm thinking about you, or I'm praying about for you, or thank you for being my friend. Or if you want, if your dad's not here, text him and wish him a happy Father's Day. Maybe you already did that. Just something simple and send it. I'll give you a minute to do that. They're probably wondering what's going on. Well, you can tell them later. You have permission to use your phone in church. Faith Lutheran Church does this when they, instead of shaking hands with peace be with you, they text somebody. I thought that's a great idea. So I get a text from my Faith Lutheran friends every Sunday morning. Okay. See, some of you are quicker than others. For those of you that have Pastor Eric's phone number or Anna's phone number, oh, you guys are so kind. Thank you. If you have Pastor Eric's phone number, don't send. Just send a short text to Pastor Eric. But don't hit the send button, because we're all going to hit send at the same time. Say, from your heart, thank you for being my pastor. Or anything else that you'd like to say, that we're praying for you. Enjoy your vacation. Don't hit send. You could do this with Anna too, and make their day. Encouraging words, words that heal. Everybody ready?
No.
Okay, sorry. Hartle. You need a bigger phone. Words that heal. Words that touch people. Like I said, like Proverbs says, a cheerful word picks us up. Say only what helps. Each word a gift. Kind words heal and help. Okay, I'm ready to hit send. Okay, I'll count to three and we'll all hit send. And it'll blow his mind. One, two, three, send. You just sent an encouraging word to someone that we all love. And it'll make his day. I encourage you to do that often, to say kind words to people, and to be an encourager. Be an encourager. Purposely look to say something nice to someone. Amen. Thank you. Yep. All right. Who wants my candy bar? Anybody want to?